this morning. Look how she's standing here, because how many knows there's been times, even early this morning, we had to, folks had to pray for her.
It took me almost 2 years after the stroke to be able to stand this. I can actually lift my arm back.
Look at this, look what Jesus is doing. She wasn't able to kneel. Get up on her own, and that happened this morning. She hadn't been able to lift up her arm, and that's happening right now. She hadn't been able to stand for this period of time, but it's happening right now. You are seeing healing and restoration happening right now. Would you give God praise? Would you give God praise? Hallelujah! Won't He do it? Won't He do it? Knows if you hadn't been through that process for 2 years, you'd be happy too.
Yeah.
And I just thank God for the smiles of joy and happiness on Megan Ann's face. Praise the Lord. Thank you to all of the prayer warriors that reached out also in love and prayed for her and helped strengthen her and her faith. And then the Lord touched her. Isn't it something? It may be that the Lord wants so many touches from His people. And then He comes. So just give away them Holy Ghost prayers and Holy Ghost hugs just as often as the Lord tells you to do, because that may be the very deuce warming of the soil for the Lord to produce something up out of it. Hallelujah. We look for more and more of that healing. Praise God. Would you make welcome in this house a son of the faith that has been with us 16 years, coming out with his very first book pretty soon, and we're so proud of him. Would you make welcome our assistant pastor here at Eagle Heights Worship Center, none other than Pastor Jason Bear. Hallelujah.
Well, give Jesus a big hand. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. And yes, I'm very excited to be able to release that book. Tomorrow, Miss Amanda Armstrong and I are submitting that to the publisher. And Lord willing, it'll be released in both paper print and electronic by Fire and Glory is the plan. So and for those of you that are curious, the title is What I Learned While Traveling with a Mentor. Amen. Glory to God. Apostle and prophetess, thank you as always for the privilege to minister the word of God. Thank you so much to each and every one of you. So glad that you are here upon tonight. And isn't the Lord incredible? What a mighty, mighty, mighty time that we've been having here upon today. Precious Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you, God, that we can assemble in your glory. Father, we thank you that your presence is so thick here. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for what you are doing, what you are about ready to do. And Father, we thank you, God, and we bless your holy name. And Lord, we just magnify and we exalt you, King of kings and Lord of all lords. And we just thank you, God, that we can be here in your house, God. And Father, I just thank you, Lord, for the word of God. And Lord, I just ask, Lord, that you will speak through me upon tonight to be a blessing to your people, God. And Father, Lord, we just thank you, God, for our leaders. We thank you, Lord, for our apostle and our prophetess. Lord, we thank you for what you did yesterday, my God, the unlimited woman, God. And Father, we just thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, replenish strength back to our prophetess. And yes, Lord, we thank you, God, particularly for the investment that prophetess Brenda made into Glory Conference, Father God. Father, for truly what is about to come forth would not have come forth without her investment and sacrifice. And so, Father God, we just honor you for her. We honor you for the gift that is in her, God. We honor you for the gift in our apostle. We honor you, Lord, for the gift in Pastor David, in Minister April, Lord, and all of the saints, all of those that minister here. And Father, we just pray, God, every heart, every life be touched, Lord, transformed in the mighty name of Jesus. We give you praise. We give you glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Corey, if you would, I'm just going to put the title slide before I go into my scripture. The title of my message tonight is Sing Your Way to Victory. Sing Your Way to Victory. Conquering Through Covenant Connections, Symphony Glory. So the Lord has set us on a track, and pay very close attention whenever God says or brings the same theme three times, he's trying to say something. So last Sunday morning, you know, we had the message, Walk It Out, that this is our victory season. Dr. April then came in and brought on the double sacrifice. And then upon this morning, our apostle so wonderfully ministered, what does victory look like? And I want to preface this by saying that one of the things with victory, and this just stood out to me upon this evening, even as we were entering into praise and worship, is that the enemy so many times in our lives tries to convince us when God has said a thing, when God has told us to release and declare and decree a thing, and it appears as if nothing is happening. And the problem with that is that we are viewing things only through what we physically see. We are viewing things through the seen realm. And the Lord just dropped in my spirit and he said, it is not that things are not transpiring. It is just happening in the invisible realm. And every time that God declares and decrees a thing, and if you've ever wondered, particularly those of you that have been here for years, that why is it just, you know, the world and other people would look amongst the congregation of this house, and if they came into prayer meeting a couple of weeks ago and they saw our associate, next senior pastor, walking in a circle leading and a whole bunch of people following him around and declaring and decreeing a whole bunch of things, they would think that's a bunch of crazy people. If they was to come in upon this morning and seen everybody dancing, or upon last Sunday morning when literally half the congregation was over here slain in the spirit, and they would think that was a really strange thing. And if they turned on Facebook and saw Pastor David singing, it's my victory season, I'm walking it out, they would think that is a very crazy thing. And what happens with the enemy and what happens in our flesh is he comes along to say, see that doesn't, everything doesn't, that's not a victory season. You're not walking in a victory season. I dealt with that. I struggled with that because I knew that everything that Pastor David was preaching, because every time he'd been up to preach in this season, I've literally walked that out that week, and I knew that it was coming. In fact, that should have helped prepare me just a little bit better. But when the Lord dropped that in my spirit, that made instantaneously, it made sense to me, because I realized that it is our victory season. The problem is we just can't see it in the natural. And so in the process of just, I guess you would say, just the struggle, the Lord dropped these words into my spirit, sing your way to victory. And I thought, Lord, now that's, you know, of all the people in the world, because I don't sing publicly. I do not sing publicly. Our praise team and the four leaders that we have are so much more marvelous in the realm of singing, but there are a lot of things that transpire when it comes to singing. And as we're going to talk about tonight, I've got a text I'm going to give you. It's in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I won't ask you to stand because I'm going to go through 30 verses here. But 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And then we're going to talk about some things, because the glory of God is absolutely incredible. The glory of God is absolutely amazing. And I'm so grateful for what we are carrying as his glory carriers. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, as I begin my message upon this evening. After that, the Moabites and the Ammonites, together with some of the Mennonites, came against Jehoshaphat for battle. And some came and declared this to Jehoshaphat, a large multitude is coming against you from across the Dead Sea, from Edom, and observe, they are in Hazon Tamar, that is in Gedi. Then Jehoshaphat was fearful. I'm so glad, though, he didn't stay in that fear. It's not a matter of when the report comes. It's a matter of what you choose to do when the report comes. What do you do when the word of God has said one thing, but everything else seems to be contrary against that? You see, and let me just speak through me to you, because part of the process is that, see, I got discouraged because I thought God would do things for me the same way that he did it before. But that didn't happen. And so some of the things the Lord began to speak out and said, the reason that those doors are being blocked is because that is too small for what I have for you. And so the thing is that you have to realize that we are in the process of birthing many things. And when you're in the process of birthing, see that walking it out, it is an uncomfortable place. And quite frankly, I'll be very honest in my prayer with God. I've said I would rather not have to walk through this process because it's immediately painful that you put yourself in a picture of something and then only to have that door immediately shut. And when Apostle spoke that this morning, it was dead on accurate when he said you have to release the how. Because you see, Jehoshaphat was faced with an impossible situation. But we serve a God who specializes in impossibilities. And what really looks like a denial is simply a contraction. The pain is simply a contraction because the baby that is getting ready to be birthed, elephants can't birth out a baby in 2 minutes. The birthing process of an elephant is over 10 months long because some things that God wants to do, there's going to be a push required. There's going to have to be some things set in the atmosphere to make it conducive for what God wants to do. But the enemy comes to set up the camp of fear. He comes to build up a camp and a mountain of fear to try to stop what God is going to do. And so Jehoshaphat was fearful. I'll never forget that courage is simply being terrified but saddling up anyway. Courage is not the absence of fear. It's simply recognizing that it's present. But I serve a Jehovah Jireh. I serve a Jehovah Nissi. I serve Jehovah Shalom. And his power is much greater because you have overcome the world, little children, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And I want to show you through this text some very key points of what Jehoshaphat did. So the Bible said that he was fearful. It's really interesting because this account is actually, this book of the Bible right here, 2 Chronicles, according to the scrolls, this is actually the last book of the Bible. It's actually written after Malachi. So it is actually written from the priests in exile, and it is actually written in the standpoint. So somebody must have told this. And it just got repeated and repeated, and somebody wrote it down, and then they compiled all that in there. But I just say that as a little side note because they noted some things that he did. It said that he was fearful, but he set himself to seek the Lord. He set himself to seek the Lord. Now, when you understand in the chapters that come before this, that Jehoshaphat had in his heart to return the nation of Judah back to its rightful place as the tribe of praise. He had in his heart, he had in his mind to set it back, to put back the things of God. And he had in his mind, he sent out all of his officials and they went out to teach all of the people the word of the Lord because they'd forgotten the word of the Lord. And so because Jehoshaphat was familiar with the word, then he knew what to do and he began to seek God. And then he called for a fast. Uh-oh. Gonna get real quiet in here. Yeah, the American church particularly, Dr. April brought this out so well last week. We don't like fasting. Our flesh don't fasten, but let me tell you, nothing gets moved in the portals of heaven unless there is a fast. I've been spending time since Prophetess brought it out in Glory Conference studying a man named Dr. David Herzog, and he talks about, he wrote a book called The Courts of Heaven, and in that book, he talked about what they would do, he and his team, to access the glory realm, and the first thing they would do is when they would go to a spot where they knew there was an open portal, that they would begin to worship and they would begin to praise and they would lay down and then literally as they would praise, and he said the next thing they would do is they would fast. Whenever they were going to believe for a principality, demonic principalities to be removed out of a region, they would begin with fasting. All throughout the Bible, whenever God's people, whenever there was a massive problem that was facing them, they would fast. So Jehoshaphat called a fast throughout all Judah, and Judah was assembled to seek the Lord. Judah came together. all of the people came together in unity. All of Springfield, all of the churches in Springfield are getting ready to come together in unity because the enemy has worked so hard to divide. So you had a leader that was willing to seek the face of God. You had a leader that was willing to fast. You had a leader that was willing not only to just do it himself, but he gathered everyone to seek God, even from all the cities of Judah, and they came to obtain aid from the Lord. That was the fifth thing that they did. And Jehoshaphat stood in the midst of the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new courtyard, and he said, I'm going to bring this out because when I read this and I've been reading this book, now this made sense. I want to illustrate for you why the Word of God is so crucial. And prophetess taught us this and said that in order for you to have a manifestation, you must have a revelation. Hosea 4 and 6 tells us that my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. And the reason that we are not successful in God is we do not know God. We do not know the things of God. Jehoshaphat did what all the kings were supposed to do. Very simply, they were supposed to take the scroll, which wasn't electronic, by the way, and the priest had a scroll, and the priest would read it, and the king was to dictate, was literally to write his own handwritten copy of the five books of Moses. And by doing so, the king had a knowledge of the Word of God. And see, knowledge in and itself is not power. Applied knowledge is power. And so in any situation that you face, and I know I'm taking a while to get to sing your way to victory, but the thing is that you have to know how to take your case into the heavens. You have to know how to take your case into the courtroom of God. I'm going to illustrate this and sidestep for just a moment. He talked about that there was a woman and a boy that came into one of his meetings, and he said that literally just the Spirit of the Lord drew him to him because the woman was weeping and the boy was weeping. And they began to explain to him that the boy had been caught. He was caught with child pornography. He was caught with all these other things, and he was about to go to court the following Tuesday, and he was going to more than likely be going to jail for several years. And so he asked the young man, and he said, do you want to get saved? This is how you know the glory is present. Because the young man with tears down his eyes and said, oh yes, I absolutely want to get saved. Took him down to the altar. Let him. He gave his heart and life to the Lord. There was a complete transformation in instantaneously upon this young man. His heart was completely changed. He repented and he was sorrowful. And so immediately Dr. Herzog said a thought popped into his head. And he said to this young man, and he said, I want you to travel with me in the spirit. We're going to pray together. And he literally went into the courts of heaven. He said, I came before the throne room of God. And he said, I saw the judge was seated upon his seat, and that the Lord Jesus, who is our advocate, was standing there, and the adversary, the accuser of the brethren, was there. And so he said, I began to plead before the court and explain how this young man had just gotten saved. I began to explain the legal precedent of how the blood of Jesus washed away every sin. And then he did and said, I need to do a sidebar, Your Honor, with my client. And he took the young man off the side and he said, do you have a call of God in your life? This is happening like in a vision. I mean, this is like, do you have a call of God on your life? And the young man looked at him and said, yes, that's why I got into trouble, because my mother had prophesied over me. My grandmother had prophesied. People had spoken over me that I was to give my heart and life to God and to evangelize, but I resisted, and so it opened the door for the demonic, and that's how I got into trouble with all these demons. And so he then took it before the court, and he said, Lord, not only is he saved and he's repented, but he's got a call. So what he did is he took the word, because the gifts and the calling are without repentance. And the adversary tried to come in and interject and say, well, he's guilty, he should be punished. But because of those two legal precedents, the judge and with the gavel and said, innocent is the verdict. So he said, he took that word and he took it back down into the earth realm. The young man went to court, and before he went to court, the judge and the prosecuting attorney took him aside, and they said, we are Christian men. We just want you to understand, we have overwhelming evidence against you because of what you've done, but we want to give you an opportunity. Do you want to know Jesus? And the young man began to explain to them, tears in his eyes, how that he had given his heart and life to Jesus. And he said, I realize I've done wrong, and I'm not trying to get out of that. And he said, my plan is to take Jesus into the prison, and I'm going to minister to prisoners. It so moved the heart of that judge. It so moved the heart of that prosecuting attorney that the judge threw out the case. You have to learn how to access the courts of heaven. You have, because this is why we fail in the earth realm. It's because we're not taking our case before the king, getting the king's verdict. Apostle already told us, you're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. But we never take that position of access. We never take that position of authority. All right, let me move on. I said that as a precursor so you understand what Jehoshaphat's about to pray. O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in the heavens? Do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? In your hand are strength and might, and there is no one who can oppose you. Did you not, our God, drive out those who lived in this land before your people Israel? Watch this. He's giving a legal precedent. Drove out those who lived in this land before Israel, and you gave it perpetually to the descendants of Abraham. He's reading the contract of who the land belongs to, who was in covenant love with you, and they have dwelled in it and have built in it for you a sanctuary for your name, saying, somebody was paying attention the day Solomon was praying, if disaster comes upon us, the sword or judgment or pestilence or famine, then we will stand before this temple and before you, because your name is in this temple, and we will cry out to you in our distress, and we will hear and deliver. Now here are the sons of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom you did not let Israel to invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, when they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are rewarding us by coming to drive us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you not render judgment on them? For we have not strength enough to stand before this great army that is coming against us, and we do not know what we should do, but our eyes are on you. He took the how out of the equation. And he gave the precedent. Now watch what happened. Now all of Judah was standing before the Lord, even their infants, wives, and children. Well, there's just something that happens when all of the people come together in unity. Everybody was involved in this. They weren't leaving the leader to do it by themselves. They weren't leaving the leader alone. It said even the babies was involved, all right? And so in the midst of the assembly, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jehiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite from the line of Asaph. I did that quickly for you. And he said, pay attention, all Judah, and those dwelling in Jerusalem, and King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord to you, do not fear nor be dismayed because of this great army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. They will travel up by the ascent of Ziz. You will find them at the back of the valley before the wilderness of Jeruel. It will not be necessary for you to fight in this conflict. Take your positions, stand and observe the deliverance of the Lord for you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be filled with terror. Tomorrow go out before them and the Lord will be with you. Then Jehoshaphat bowed his face to the ground, and all Judah and those dwelling in Jerusalem fell before the Lord to worship him. And the Levites from the descendants of the Kohathites and the Korahites rose up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a very loud voice. You know, there's two things I find when it comes to singing as far as your Bible goes. The Bible never said you had to sing well. Now, I didn't say that the praise team, to be on the praise team, didn't say you had to sing well, all right? But the Bible, I don't find anywhere in my Bible. I did a search. I looked up everywhere for the word sing, actually, and it appears approximately 169 times, all right, in your Bible. And the majority of it is in the Old Testament. And see, people try to throw out the Old Testament, but when you start studying the glory, you come to understand that there's no such thing as time in the glory. You understand there's no such thing as distance in the glory. And so if Jesus said that not one jot or tittle of the law will pass away, then that means the Old Testament is still relevant. That means that every bit of it, in fact, the only reason we call it Old Testament is because we have all the writings of the Gospels, but in their day, they didn't have that. There was no such thing as old. That was simply what the Bible was. Why do I tell you that? Because that's relevant for you to understand that if it addresses the word sing in there and he tells you to sing whether you have a good voice or not, whether you feel like it or not. In fact, I studied this out and I said, now, Lord, there's a verse in Proverbs that says that you should not sing unto someone that has a heavy heart. And he answered back to me and he said, yes, but I didn't say the person with a heavy heart shouldn't sing. Look at all the rest of the scriptures, because if they'll begin to sing and if they'll begin to praise, demonic strongholds will begin to break off of them because they cannot stay. They cannot remain. And he said, if they'll get in my glory and they'll sing in my glory. Well, let me not get ahead of myself, because you don't understand how much power there is in your voice. How much, that's why the enemy fights. That's why the enemy came against Dr. Rod Parsley with a cancer to take out his voice, because the enemy wanted to eliminate his sound, because everything in all of creation responds to sound. Every particle, everything responds, everything that was created by God. And we were singing, and we've been singing all day, our bones will sing. So what you don't understand is your bones literally sing. What you don't understand is that literally the chair can sing. How? Because you just can't hear it with your natural ears, but your spirit man in tune with God can hear the sounds. Why? Because God speaks. In fact, God created by speaking, but there was two elements that was needed. Number one, the Spirit of God has to be present. That's why I understand now how Catherine Kuhlman flowed the way that she did. Because Catherine Kuhlman knew how to so honor the presence of the Holy Spirit that she waited until she knew the Spirit of God was brooding. She took Genesis 1:2 and she applied it. Because when the Spirit of God was hovering, it is not that God created out of nothing, although God can create out of nothing. But what God does is he creates out of the invisible realm. I'll give you proof. Hebrews 11:3, it says, by faith the worlds were framed by the word of God, because the things which are seen were not made out of things which do appear. That didn't say that God made it out of nothing. He simply made it out of something that we can't see with this eye. This is going to get even deeper, because when you understand that, you understand that when God speaks to a thing, everything else in creation but rebellious man responds to it. The mountains respond to it. Jesus could speak to the fig tree, and the reason that the fig tree dried up was because it recognized the voice of its creator. Jesus could speak to the rock, and the rock would become bread. Why? Because there are sound particles that are already inherent in that rock. I'll prove it to you. They did scientific studies. By the way, if y'all want to get this book, it's called The Courts of Heaven, and it's about $50. It's expensive. God told me to get it. Actually, one of our members had already read it, told me about it. And then the Holy Spirit lit it up, said, I want you to buy it. Don't look for it either. Pay the price. Because what's in it, this is where I'm giving you this, all right? But the sound, all right, the sound. So literally, when God speaks, all of creation receives that sound. So they did tests, and they took water molecules, and they spoke to the water molecules. I read this and something flashed through my mind of Howard Carter sitting in a prison cell in World War I complaining to God because the water was coming down literally on top of him while he was getting a revelation from God on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because the Germans were bombing the British and it was causing all the water from the sewers to come down. And so he said, God, do something about this water. And the Lord said, no, you do something about it. So he spoke to the water drop. I thought it was the anointing at the time. It was the glory, because that water drop stopped in midair and went right back up into the ceiling. Why? Because creation responds to the voice of the creator when he tells, and whether that's his voice or comes through us, when he tells us, speak this. So when he tells you to speak it, get out of your mind how crazy it may seem. And believe me, I'm very much preaching to myself as much as I'm preaching to you. Because if he's told you to speak it, he's already working on the invisible side. Because when you understand this, the creation is ready to respond. That's why, Brother Corey, you go out in the woods and you say that you feel relaxed and at peace. The reason that you feel that way is because you are hearing all of creation worship God, except you don't recognize it by your natural ear, but your spirit man is picking up the vibrations of those sound particles. Okay, so let's take something besides water molecules. All right? They test it with a gold bar. They took radio waves and they blasted it at a gold bar. And the gold bar was responding to the sound waves. Why? Because scientists have determined that the smallest particle, it's not the atom, it's not the electron, and it's not the proton. It's the sound wave. This is going to revolutionize and change a lot of things because God, Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a mustard seed, and it is the smallest of seeds, but it produces the largest of plants. God has placed inherent in you and in your bones the capability to produce sound, the capability to speak, and creation is designed to receive that. This was what was amazing. He also talked about how they think. That your thoughts, that if you focus your thoughts very intensely, other people can pick up on those thoughts, whether it be negative, whether it be positive. We think that, like, you know, the Avengers and the superheroes is far-fetched. No, they've been in the glory. They just didn't know it. All right? Because there's a whole bunch of stuff in here. I didn't even got to the time reversal glory. That's like the really awesome stuff. All right? But I'm just telling you, everything that man has done is a copy, because everything the enemy does is simply a copycat of God. He has nothing authentic. He has nothing new that he can offer. You have way more power than what you understand. They started speaking to the gold bar. And when they spoke to the gold bar, their instruments started recording these vibrations that the gold was responding to the sound of men under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I thought I was crazy. All these years I've taken offerings and said, bring your cash, your gold, your silver, your titanium. How does that happen? I'll tell you how it happens. Because in creation, it is in God's creation, he designed it where it can change from one form to another. You understand this, that if you take wood and you burn the wood and the wood turns into ash and we think, oh, it's gone. No, it just simply transformed. It simply changed form. So God has put the same thing in place, and he testifies about this. They were in the glory and they were sowing in the glory. Now you have to understand there's no time. You have to understand, God, there are angels of time. I learned this reading this book. There are angels of time. These angels, actually, when people are getting, like, I'm talking like mass, like deliverances, healings, and a man is not touching them, because he said, I learned the difference in the anointing. I had to do it myself. He said, but when I got in the glory, he said, I'd see 30-foot angels, and wherever the angel stood, bam, people were getting delivered. People were getting healed. He said, Brother David Barton, you'll love this. Where an angel was standing, a bald man, hair grew right on top of his head. Instantaneously, right there in front of everybody, hair grew. But he said they would sow into the glory. And as they sowed into the glory, people would check their bank accounts, and they had thousands of dollars that appeared in their bank account. No explanation of how it got there. People started opening up their wallets, and there was money in their wallets that had not been there before. He said, God gave us revelation of how the Lord did it with the fish and how the Lord did it with the bread, because the creation was designed to multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. And so he said, all I did was to speak the creative word. All I did was to speak, and it began to multiply. That's why you can speak over your wallet. Some of you might have thought Apostle was crazy when he said, hold up your wallet and speak to your wallet. He was tapping in, he was tapping in to the glory of God. Because your wallet, if we had the scientific instruments, I didn't bring mine up here, but if you had your, here, because now we do a lot on our phone. So much of our money is controlled on our phone that we put our phone, I'm under the anointing and the inspiration. The Lord is brooding. That's what you do. You pray for God to brood. Now, you got to speak his word. There's a qualifier to this, okay? Don't think you can just go do it in your flesh. It's what he tells you. Jesus said, I see my Father do it. I hear my Father say it. I speak it. But he tells you to say it. Phone, multiply. Do you understand? It could multiply. It could literally turn into 2-3 phones. Cash App, multiply, multiply. Because the Bible says he gives seed to the sower, bread to the eater. And if you take that up into the heavens and you get the verdict from God and you get the judgment and you bring that back down and you declare in the earth realm. How does that happen? Portals. Say, Pastor Jason, you crazy. What's portals? No, you saw portals last week. You just didn't know it was portals. Maybe some of you did. Maybe you said, we were here in prayer, and God showed me and said, there are three portals in this room. Right there where Miss Megan's standing, right here, and right there against that wall. In fact, it was literally like a door, a doorway that was right there. Miss Heather was the first one that tapped into it. And when I knew she tapped into it, I said, anybody else that goes over there, they're going to lose it, and they're going to go crazy. And sure enough, in fact, Brother Jamar, in Next Steps class, he was saying, he said, I just don't know what happened. I went up there, I was going to go try to go usher, and all of a sudden, he said, I just went out. And I'm thinking, I know exactly what happened, brother. You stepped into a portal. A portal is an opening that connects heaven to earth so that what's in heaven can get in the earth realm. Right there, I'm standing where Miss Megan was, and all of a sudden, I saw Africa, and I knew that I was standing in a portal that connected Springfield, Missouri to Africa. I could describe to you what they were wearing. I saw a long robe on a man, and on the bottom of that robe was this, it was like this border that went all around the robe, and it had like all of these different multicolors in it. I could see like long, like almost like business suits that women would wear, but not quite the same. Joseph can kind of help me with this because he knows their dress in it, but they were dressed in these dresses, and all of a sudden I looked down here where Apostle was putting the seed, and I saw harvest. It was a portal for harvest to Africa. At first I thought it was wheat, but he explained that, you know, they do like the corn and the rice and things like that. But I saw in the spirit, I could see a blue sky, and I could see like this white cloud in the sky, and I could see all these people, and they was just dancing like crazy, like on the video. So I knew part of what I was seeing, the video reel of that, but I was seeing that God was bringing a harvest to them. How? There's a portal. That's how you access it. You access it because you access the portal. Praise and worship opens the portal. When you are in the spirit, that portal can be open. There's other things that open up the portal. I want two of them. Time to go into all the different festivals and feasts, because there's a lot. I've got five of his books, and I'm through two of them, two and a half of them right now. And I'm just telling you, what you subscribe to will begin to manifest in your life. The thing is, the enemy comes and tells you, well, see, now you spoke all that, and that didn't happen. Yes, it did. It happened in the invisible realm. It just didn't happen in the visible realm yet. So what you have to do is you have to pray for the invisible realm to birth into the physical realm so that there is a manifestation in the physical realm of what has already been established in the invisible realm. So when you understand this, you understand that creative miracles are nothing to God, because the only thing that happened, chapter number 4 in this book, is called DNA. In this, and literally the DNA just simply, it's like it's in a spot, it just stopped. Like it's sitting at a traffic light. This is me, not him. It's just like sitting at a traffic light. And literally God just speaks to it. The light goes green. And it's like literally, it just simply continues. Why? Because it has the sound waves. And the creation is simply waiting for the voice of the creator. I could take you through example after example how creation responds. Moses was in the glory. There was a challenge against his authority. And he said, if I am not a man of God, let these men die a natural death. But if I be a man of God, let the earth open up and swallow. And the earth instantaneously recognized the sound and the voice of the creator that was released out of Moses. And when he spoke it, the earth received the sound waves, much like a womb receives the seed. And it opened up and swallowed up that which was evil, because creation hates sin. That's why you never rebel against your leaders. Korah's a really good example. Buy my book. You can read more about that. No, I'm kidding. But the creation. I'm serious. I wrote a subtitled title. The lesson that Korah, Adonijah, and Absalom never learned. I'm just here to tell you, when you get in unity and you're submitted, there's a much greater anointing. I would have never got, if I'd gone out and started my own church, I would have never got this. I got it from her. Because she said one word in Glory Conference, time reversal. And I saw Dr. Strange in the Avengers Infinity War, and he did that thing with his, and where the time thing and the green thing, and God began to reveal to me and said, that's not make-believe, that really happens. Well, some of you think it's crazy. How many of you remember? Tattooed people lifted their arms, and the tattoos literally disappeared. Why? Because God was reversing the time. Sister Kim Murphy, about 3 or 4 weeks ago, you were standing right over here. an apostle laid his hands on you, and I had just started reading this, and the Spirit of the Lord showed me you were 20 years old. I began to understand, why don't I see things physically? Because I realized that when I see in the spirit now, that I am seeing into the invisible realm. When we have visions, we are accessing the invisible realm. Our spirit is actually able to see what is happening in the invisible realm, and we call it and bring it into. And this is what God said to me. I tell Sister Kim, I'm reversing the time. I saw you, and you were like 20 years old. Now, just so you understand, that don't mean your body has to physically look 20, because Caleb, he said when he went to take his mountain in Joshua chapter 14, and he said, I am 85 years old, but I am as strong as I was, and I am as strong now as I was then. When Moses sent me forth, so am I now. So therefore, now give me this mountain. How does time reversal glory work? How was it that Moses, at 120 years old, they said that his eyesight had not waxed dim, but yet Isaac and yet others of the patriarchs went blind years before their died, but not Moses, because Moses had accessed a realm in the glory of God. And in that glory, it said that literally his body was as strong at 120 years of age as it was as 40. Don't ever let the enemy lie to you and say, well, I'm old. As we got members in our congregation, I'm 60, I'm 70, I'm 80. I understand now people that'll see me. If I shave my goatee, they think I'm 20 years old. Some of the people I've been around, they were amazed when I told them that I'm going to be celebrating 20 years of marriage to the same woman. They said, you've been married 20 years? You look like you're 20. Well, praise God. Praise God. But I'm just, the point of that is that there's all these things I'm reading, now all the things I've read in the Bible are making sense. There's a revelation that's being given, because now I understand, no, it was the glory, it just couldn't be seen. All right, let's get back to Jehoshaphat. I haven't got to get singing. That's like my introduction, because I was so excited with all that. Okay, because they praised the Lord with a very loud voice. That was the second thing. Back on the praise thing. I know I took a little bunny rabbit trail there, but let me bring it right back. So number one is that you can sing, and it don't matter how your voice sounds. So when Pastor David sings, it's all right. It's good, all right? It's great. It's good. He's fulfilling the Bible commandment. Number two. It does not say anywhere quiet. I'm sure I'm not going to have time to go through all the scriptures that I pulled out, but I started looking through, and the Lord lit that up, and he said, do you see anywhere in there where it says that they praised me quietly? See, churches that operate this way are out of order. I'm sorry. I know y'all might not like that. Y'all that say, it's too loud. It's too loud. It's too loud. Well, honey, if you go in the glory, he'll heal those ears. I mean, he'll speak the word, or you can speak the word, or the man and woman of God will speak the word, and literally an angel just come by and touch your ear and speak to your body, because that's the other thing. See, when you have the authority to speak to your body. See, oh my God. Okay, I know there's so many of these, but he shared about John G. Lake. Okay, and this was like back in the 1800s. Yeah, okay, 1800s, and he was over in South Africa, and they called him in because all these people were dying of the bubonic plague, and so. But John G. Lake, Lord Jesus, this would absolutely blow away all the whole thing with the face mask. I'm about to kill the devil right now, okay? Because all these people have been afraid of coming into the church. We can't come into the church because we might get sick. We can't come into the church because the disease might touch us. John G. Lake was walking around in a contaminated environment, and they were absolutely shocked, and they said, why are you not sick? You should be dead or dying. And he said, the life-giving power of the Spirit of Christ is in me. Take some of the cells of the bubonic plague and put it in my hands. And they looked at him like, well, that's one way to go. That would be a 21st century modern vernacular. That's one way to go. And he said, put it on my hands. And said, now take your microscope and examine it. And when they put it in his hands, the bubonic cells die. Coronavirus died on contact. Oh, I know that a lot of people don't want to believe that because, well, it all happened because he was in the glory. And in the glory, literally, that creative power of God was so powerful that when the sickness came into contact, if you ever wonder, this is how they cursed cancer. They look at Smith Wigglesworth and thought he was crazy, and he would curse it because he would be underneath like Catherine Kuhlman, where the Holy Spirit was brooding. He would hear the voice of God. He would speak what God said, and the cancer cells would die. The bubonic plague cells would die. Sicknesses and diseases instantaneously, not 10 years later, not 20 years later. So when Apostle spoke over David Batak, it was because Apostle heard the voice of God and the Spirit of God was already brooding in the atmosphere. So when he spoke to Mr. Batak's DNA, the DNA, which is designed and already receives the sound, because all of creation, every created object receives sound. Every person receives sound. Your bones hear what you speak. Your heart hears what you speak. Your lungs hear what you speak. Your kidney hears what you... You didn't know this was going to be a glory conference continuation, but that's really what it turned into. So your whole body is designed. Your whole body is designed to receive that. So the question is, what are you speaking? When the Creator's words were spoken, the DNA simply turned back on. The DNA simply, his eyes just simply, boom, literally popped right on. That's how Jesus healed. That's how they would receive those healings, because the creation, the object, was responding to the sound waves coming through the man, coming from God. It's called vibrational glory. I'm actually summing up what's called quantum glory, and I'm talking to you about vibrational glory. That's literally where literally the person, the body, the man literally vibrates with such intensity because the glory and the power and the voice of God is radiating through them. And the creation has more faith than unfaithful, doubting men and women that have been taught this way. Well, you can't go into church. You got to make sure you wear your face mask. Don't go in without your face mask on because you might get sick. What if there had been men and women, God, preachers, that instead of shutting the church down, had simply stood up and say, yeah, y'all are twisting scripture on the whole Romans 13 thing, and we're going to obey what God's doing. Why? Because the glory of God present would heal the whole place instantaneously. Coronavirus would have been gone. Coronavirus would have been out the door. Don't take my word for it. That was the testimony of John G. Lake. It's here in the book. Buy it and read it yourself. There's power. Yes. Okay, I'm sorry. Let me get to the singing. Okay, they rose up early. They went out. Okay. And then Jehoshaphat says, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe in his prophets, so shall you prosper. You believe the prophetic voice, you will prosper. You reject the prophetic voice and you dishonor the prophetic voice, you will not prosper. All right. So he consulted with the people and appointed singers for the Lord and those praising him in holy attire as they went before those equipped for battle, saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. I will have to sum this up in the sake of time. When they began to sing, the moment that all of them began to sing. And I'm sure it sounded pretty good, all right? It probably wasn't a bad choir. These guys, these Levites, were well-trained. David was very thorough. The musicians were very good. He had 4,000 of them on staff, literally, in the tabernacle of David. He had 4,000 musicians on payroll. That's all they did in 8-hour shifts. So three groups of people working 8-hour shifts, 24 hours a day, and they sang praises to God. You reinstitute what David had, you'll get what David had. All right, round the clock, praise and worship. And so as they began to sing, the Lord caused the enemies. There's been a lot of strongholds over Springfield. And the reason they're fighting is because in the glory, the God will cause. Because see, Jehoshaphat went into the court. He got the ruling from God. He brought it down in the earth. The prophetic word then spoke the decree of what God was going to do. He believed it in faith. He spoke, believe in the Lord God, you'll be established. Believe in his prophets. Prophets, so shall you prosper. And he said, let's appoint singers. Let's appoint people to sing. Praise the Lord, for his mercy is good. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And as they began to sing, God caused these three armies to fight each other. Not only fight each other, they killed each other. So when the men of Judah came up. Oh, this is like a glorious battle. I mean, this is just one of those things. You may have to go through hell to get to the top of that hill. But when they got to the top of the hill and they got to the lookout point, the Bible said that all they saw was dead bodies. They didn't have to lift a sword. They didn't have to lift a bow. They didn't. No one had to fight that day. And the Bible says they named that valley the Valley of Berakah, which translated in English is the Valley of Blessing. And the reason that they named it the Valley of Blessing was because there was so much gold, there was so much silver, there was so much plunder, and they said that it took them 3 days. It took them 3 days to collect the plunder. When you sing, the Bible gives, and let me just go through some of the things here in my notes. I won't bother to really to go through. I'll just give some of these to you just for the sake of time. But these are just some of the things on singing before the Lord. And I'll call out some scriptures here. Sing unto his name, Romans 15:9. Sing in time of celebration. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. Sing unto your well. Sing unto your well. Spring up, O well. Sing unto your well. Do you understand? These are not suggestions. These are commandments from God, but it's neglected. We expect the praise and the worship team to do it. I mean, you know, and they're awesome. We got an awesome Eagle Nation music is, I mean, that is just, I mean, it is awesome. We are tremendously blessed. But God didn't just say for them to sing. He said for us to sing. Sing praise to the Lord, Judges 5:3. They sang, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000. You understand in the Bible that whenever they wanted to remember something, they wrote a song about it? You know, there's a song of Moses that Miriam sang when they crossed the Red Sea. She picked up the tambourine. Miriam was a prophet, and she started singing, and it was called the Song of Miriam. There was the Song of Moses. God told Moses in Deuteronomy of all the judgment that was going to come against the people of Israel. He said, teach it to them as a song. They had to sing a song that was talking about what was going to happen to them. You thought that would have been a clue. I mean, that wasn't like a real happy song. You're going to be led off into exile. You're going to eat your own children because of your rebellion against me. Read it. Read the book of Deuteronomy. Read it. It's a song that he taught to them. They would teach them songs to remember things. Sing of his salvation. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of his wonderful works. 1 Chronicles 16:9. The trees of wood. So just in case anybody thought I was crazy when I was talking about the glory, the trees of wood sing out at the presence of the Lord. He wouldn't have wrote that unless they understood something about the glory. They didn't know what they was looking at. You know, how do the trees sing? Because they sing, but it's not audible to the ear. That's why if you ever go through, because this is such a peaceful place, being out like in the mountains or being by a lake or being there, it's because your spirit is picking up on the songs of creation. But the trees of wood sing at the presence of the Lord. Sing over the offering. No. What happens is we want to have a funeral. We want to have a funeral because we just can't seem to get because we said, well, nothing happened. Yeah, it did. It just happened in the invisible realm. Your harvest just began to grow in the invisible realm. But your words of negativity that you spoke over it then are causing it to cease because the creation, the offering bucket can respond to your sound too. So the Bible says, sing over your offering. 2 Chronicles 29:28. Sing with gladness and sing with loud instruments. Again, not quiet. 2 Chronicles 29:30, chapter 30 and verse 21. The widow's heart can sing for joy. Job 29:13. So it says, yeah, a person can be heavy, but they can choose to sing. Is that easy? No, it's not. Everything in you, well, I don't feel like it. Well, that's great. Let me help you with something. Ask anyone in the ministry in this house if they've ever had a day they didn't feel like preaching. Ask Pastor David if he's ever not felt like preaching. Ask Apostle if he's ever not felt like preaching. Ask Prophetess if she's ever not felt like preaching. We don't go by what we feel. We go by what he says. And sometimes we got to tell ourselves that. So God expects the same for his people. All right, let's see. Sing and give thanks, remembering his holiness. Psalms 30:4, to the end that my glory may sing praise unto thee and not be silent. Psalms 30:12, sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise. Psalms 33:3. All right, and so, yeah, and it goes on. For God is a God, a king of all the earth. Sing ye praises with his understanding. Sing aloud of his righteousness, Psalms 51:14. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his seed praise glorious. Oh, wait, I wonder where we could have heard that. I wonder in what CD release we might have just heard that. Yeah, that comes directly from the book of Psalms. Sing unto thee among the nations, Psalms 57:9. Creation sings, the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 12. I know most people, you know, they stay away from that because they go, oh, that book's all about sex. Well, in Psalms 2 and 12, it says the singing of the birds has come. So, you know, God puts all kinds of things in the Word. The tongue of the dumb shall sing, Isaiah 35 and 6. That's not referring to, like, retarded people. That means that people that are not able to sing. They shall be. The heavens and the mountains sing, Isaiah 44, 23. The redeemed shall return and come with singing unto Zion. Sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Do you see what happens when you sing? Psalms 51, 11. That's why God so many times wants us to sing a new song, because we sing about the Lord, the things the Lord has done. The angels cannot do that. They cannot sing the song of the redeemed. The barren shall sing, Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 1. Literally, T.D. Jakes preached that message a number of years ago, and he said, the problem is I'm preaching to a generation of women that want to kill their babies. Isaiah was writing to a generation of women that wanted to have babies. So he told them while they was in their barrenness, sing. Sing, O barren woman. Sing, O desolate. And literally, the child break forth. The hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the fields shall clap their hands. I thought of the word that Elder Henry Mason gave over a prophetess that said that the hills are alive with the sound of the music of Prophetess Brenda, now Eagle Nation. How can that happen? Now I understand, as I've told you, in the glory, the hills respond. The young shall sing, Hosea 2 and 15. The Lord shall sing over you, Zephaniah 3, 17. You realize that? God sings over you. Sing unto the name of the Lord, Romans 15 and 9. Sing in the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 14, 15. I just didn't have time to go through all these. It would have been like five messages. Sing with understanding, also 1 Corinthians 14, 15. Sing and melody in your heart to the Lord, Ephesians 5 and 19. Sing with the grace in your heart to the Lord, Colossians 3 and 16. Sing to remember what the Lord, what God has done, Revelation 15, 3, the song of Moses. Would you go ahead and stand to your feet? I know I hit a lot of things tonight, and I just pray, if nothing else, that that just sparked you to be hungry for the glory of God. But I want you to understand the power that is in your voice. I want you to understand the power that is in your thoughts, and that you can come away from this realizing that you are far more empowered over all the works of the enemy. And I don't care what it looks like in the natural realm. You speak until the invisible realm manifests. When I was praying yesterday, the Lord just dropped one word in my spirit: manifestation. Manifestation. We may not understand why it doesn't manifest when we want it to manifest, but we're speaking the word of God, and in the timing of God, He releases for the invisible then to become visible in this realm. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, I pray over every single person right here. Father God, not only every single person, but Father, I speak to our new buildings. Father, I speak, Lord, as you had me do this morning. God, I speak to the concrete. Lord, we speak to the brick. Lord, we speak, Lord, to every part of that building. We speak to the electrical wiring. Father God, we speak for it to come forth. We speak for you to come into manifestation. We speak for the Westside Community Center to come into manifestation. Father, we speak for unity, God, upon this Friday. Father, we speak, Lord, what men of God have been praying for: unity, not division. Unity in the city of Springfield. And so, Father, we go into the court. Lord, we bring the case, God. There are souls weighing in the balance, God. And Father God, there are groups of people that are coming together in one heart and one mind. So Father, we ask you, according to your word, to open an open portal, an open heaven over that area of Doling Park, God. We ask you, God, to open, Lord, the heavens, Lord, that heaven and earth will come together. And Father God, we thank you, God, that as we sing, God, as we praise individually and corporately, God, that as we do so, set ambushments against the enemies in Springfield, the religious demons in Springfield. Lord, dispatch, Lord, principality angels. Angels, Lord, over the region. Angels to give favor with government, because there are governmental angels. Lord, we speak, Lord, to angels to, Lord, bring people to the altar. The angel of salvation to be dispatched in the name of Jesus, God. The angel special God of prosperity and blessing for everything that is needed, Lord, because as Dr. Herzog testified, businessmen would come up and said, I want to pay for the expenses of the entire camp meeting. So God, we speak that there, and we speak that here over fire and glory, God. Father God, we thank you in the name of Jesus for the open portal of heaven, God. Lord God, for the greatest revival, because you said that this is the hub of your glory, meaning the portal is open, the window is open over Springfield. We speak the open heaven, we speak the open portal, and Father, we thank you, God, that your glory, we are your glory carriers, we are walking in your glory. Father, every single one within the sound of my voice, God, those on Facebook Live and those here in the room, God, Father, we pray, God, that we will be carriers and walk in your glory, God. And Father, we thank you, God, that the invisible shall manifest into the visible exactly as you have spoken. And Father God, we just thank you, God. I just pray a special blessing rest upon each of your people as they walk throughout their week. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Glory to God. Would you welcome?